Before we move further, it's not only sinners that Jesus went to the cross for. There's so many things connected to the cross. So many things. It's so deep. There is the first part where we talk about what he died to get for us. The benefits. And of course, there are so many of them. The cross and salvation. The cross and the remission of sin. The cross and healing. The cross and deliverance. The cross and this issue of rejection. You know, I don't know. He was crying on the cross, "Father, Father, why have you forsaken me?" Why did the Father forsake his Son? Why did he do that? Why did he turn his back on Jesus on the cross? What do you think, sir? What do you think, sir?
You know, sir, I want to say something, sir. The Lord is saying that because you put at the front what he himself puts at the front, that we put this work at the front.
Of course, he told me this evening, he said this night, today, yes. And tomorrow, that he's going to pass through this camp himself.
That is correct.
He told me that.
That is accurate. You see, this emphasis on the cross is the Father's heart. If you gave your Son to die on a cross, your mind will not be anywhere else.
Anywhere else.
So anybody who is preaching anything
any other
else
thing
does not impress you. The Lord said he is not impressed by anything that is not connected to Calvary.
Are you people hearing that? And ministers from around the world, I hope you are hearing that.
He is not impressed. Anything you are doing or preaching that is not connected to the cross does not impress them in heaven.
And do you know, there are two sides though. There are two sides. One side is where we talk about all that he did for us, all that we're going to get. Yeah. There is the other side, and that's where maturity comes.
Yeah.
Where you now talk about
what
we are going to do for him. Let's talk about the cross and the lordship of Christ. For example, what happened on the cross? It was purchasing something.
Amen.
The price of the goods that he needed to purchase was so costly. And these goods were slaves. Slaves to sin, slaves to Satan. We were actually in the slave camp, like the Jews under bondage of Pharaoh in Egypt. And the only way to get us out of this, money cannot pay for it. If you get all the land in Nigeria and in Africa and give, it can't pay for it. All the oil in our soil in the whole of Africa cannot pay for it. The wages of sin, the penalty for sin is death. And not just physical death. It brought physical death. It brought all types of problems, sickness and the rest of them. But it's not just that. It's eternal damnation. It brings separation from God, but ultimately leads the man to eternal damnation. There is no other thing that can solve the problem. There is nothing that can change the human nature and restore us back to how we were before we fell. The only price required to satisfy the claim of justice, to remove us from judgment and condemnation, the only price qualified to purchase us from slavery and give us back liberty, the only price qualified to remove the penalty of sin so that we don't have to go to hell and be eternally, not we're not talking about going for 1 year, going for 10 years, it's for eternity. The only price to remove the stain of sin.
Yes, sir.
And you know, sin didn't just stain us. Sin transformed us into demons. It gave man the nature of Satan.
Yes, sir.
He took our human spirit and disfigured it.
Yes, sir.
You can imagine. Look at people are killing people, cutting him, and they don't feel anything. You're looking for demon. That's a demon on 2 feet.
That's true.
They grab a young woman, rape her, abuse her. They don't care. Rob a man, you're finished collecting what belongs to the man. You see, put bullet in his head. Put yourself in that man's shoe. But what has gone wrong with this man that he doesn't have ordinary compassion and feeling for his fellow men?
Another nature
is the nature that is in demons. That nature that is inside Satan. Now came inside man. And this is the problem of the world. The problem of our society. No government can solve it. No laws that pass in the House of Assembly can solve it. Because man needs his nature to be changed. It's beyond just forgiving you.
No. It's beyond forgiveness.
But you know, that price was paid to redeem us. And beyond all of that, the way a man also pays dowry to have a bride. Because God's heart, the Bible says, what is man that you are mindful of him? God's heart, God's love, God's affection has always been on man. When Adam broke his heart by going into rebellion and committing high treason, he destroyed so much. But God will not rest. So he put the plan of salvation into motion. He had the plan ahead of time, but he now put it into motion. And Jesus died as our Savior. He died to save us, to redeem us as our Redeemer. But that's not the only reason why he died. When you now accept him into your life, you don't only accept him as a Savior. You accept him as Lord. Romans chapter 10, you know, verse 9 and 10, was talking about how people get saved. That we must believe in our heart in the Lord Jesus. But we must confess with our mouth his Lordship. Talk to us. What does that Lordship mean? Why does he become Lord? Where did he get the right? Yes, talk to us about it.
You know, sir, there's something you see, this night is reawakening something inside me. Years ago, the Lord said to me, he said, if man was to be lost for 1,000 years, Jesus would not have come to die. That eternity was at stake.
At stake, the whole eternity. The
eternity was at stake. If we understand what, because anything that will cause Jesus Christ to die on the cross, the way he died, it must be very serious.
It's very serious.
Very serious.
Of course, that's one of the things the Lord was telling me. He said, this thing is deeper than you people understand.
It is the most serious matter in the universe. You see, those who say, how can God send anybody to hell? They don't understand the cause.
They don't understand the consequence of sin.
They don't understand.
They don't understand how serious sin is.
They don't get it. Because if you want to understand sin, look at the cross.
If you want to know how serious sin is, look at the cross.
Look at the cross. And that is why, sir, you see why there will be miracles here tonight, is because God will confirm what he did on the cross. He will confirm, because he said, what God is saying is, this is my priority. This is where my eyes are looking. But the church has been looking elsewhere. Now, the simple question is this, sir. Why should somebody pay this kind of price to purchase part-time Christians? It does not make sense. Imagine, look at what Jesus did so that he can buy people that are following him with 1/4 of their heart.
He gave his all, his life.
To purchase slaves, not his equal.
Not his equal.
Now, the people that he bought are giving him
problem. Half
of their heart. And they are pressing calculator to calculate the money that they are going to give to him. After he bought them, after he paid for them on the cross. So you see, Jesus Christ paid the price with a CE to purchase a price with a ZE. You see, the price.
The price.
P-R-I-C-E. Is what you pay.
What he paid.
Price.
But what price
is what you get.
P-R-I-Z-E. Price possession.
Yes.
Is what he got.
Is what he gets. And that is his charge. Because what he paid for was so he can buy a people for himself. So when those people that he paid for are now living their lives as if he does not exist, and they say they are his people, you can see that there is a matter.
There is a big issue.
So if Jesus, listen, now Jesus Christ cannot save where he is not Lord.
Did you hear that?
If Jesus is not, if a shepherd is not in charge of the sheep, how can the sheep end up in still waters or with green pasture? A sheep that is not under the shepherd is going to be eaten by wolves. A shepherd cannot help a sheep that will not follow him. It's impossible. So the idea of separating Jesus as Savior and as Lord
does not exist.
It does not exist.
Yes, sir.
It does not exist. That's why on the last day, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to say, "Depart from me, I don't know you." Then they say, "What happened?" He said, "Not everybody who says to
Lord, Lord,
but
those who do.
So the doing,
what I tell them,
the doing is the proof that is your master.
That is your master.
That is it.
The doing is the proof that you submit to his lordship.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Christianity has two sides. That's where our people preaching this reckless grace are making a big mistake. Jesus as our Savior, all we need is faith in the work he has done. But Jesus as our master, as our Lord, requires obedience.
Yes, sir.
So Christianity has the professing side of Christianity. When I pledge and talk, but there is practicing Christianity.
Who do you want to obey if not this person that paid this price? Who do you want to live your life for? See, this matter in heaven, they don't understand Christians. These things that we are preaching as if it's a command should flow out of love, should flow out of gratitude.
Yes, sir.
The offering you are giving, evangelizing, bringing other people to Christ, it should be the overflow of a grateful heart that says, "Jesus, you did all this for me. You did all this for me. Here is my life.
Take it all.
Use it all. Whatever you
all
want.
All that I am. Wherever, everything.
Everything.
I lay it at your feet.
Everything.
Yes,
everything.
Yes, sir.
Who else do you want to live for?
Yes, sir.
Who else should I live for? Who should receive my best?
Yes, sir.
Who should collect the first?
Yes, sir.
Who should I lay down my life for? If not the one that paid my price.
1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God? Ye are not your own. Ye are not your own. Verse 20. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Yes, sir.
What does this lordship of Christ mean in the life of a believer?
Thank you, sir. Now, I would say this first. The reason we have not understood what Jesus did for us is that we have not understood the judgment of God. What it all means. That we were already condemned. We were good for nothing. We had no access to God. We were heading to unimaginable destruction. Now, the issue of hell is part of God's judgment. We don't even have an idea of what it means. That's what you're saying. She'll be lost forever in deep agony of darkness. That is the judgment of God. Because we don't realize the severity of it. So we make light of Jesus, who had no sin, to take all those punishments and to pay the price for our redemption. In other words, we were actually already slaves, held by Satan, and going to end up where he was destined to end up. But Jesus had to offer his own life and then
pay. It is change for our life.
It is change. All right. So the thing is, just understanding the mercy of God leaves you no choice but to completely give your life to him. You can't say you accept the Lord Jesus Christ and not live for him. Now, with all of the things he said, carry your cross, deny yourself, and then we don't know what it means to deny ourselves, because we think we have right to live, we have right to the blessings, we can walk, we can study, and think we are earning a living because we did all these things. But earning a living cannot be compared to the life that is awaiting us at the end of this earth, where you will have no power of choice. What happens to me? Like, you have a choice. I can do business, go to education.
Second Corinthians chapter 5. Let's get to that element that he's discussing.
Yes, sir.
We can pick it up from verse 14. One of us should read it. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we are all dead. Verse 15. He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live for themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. This is one of the biggest problems we have in the church today. People living, they tell you, it's my life, I do what I like with it. No, it's not your life anymore.
It's not your life anymore.
He died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves. Go ahead, sir.
Sir, you see this matter that we are discussing, this is the heart of the trouble that makes Christianity look weak and powerless.
Yes, sir.
That makes it look as if Jesus does not have people. To understand this lordship, another way to look at it is to see Jesus as king. When there was no king in Israel, it says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. He says,
everybody did whatever he liked.
Everybody did what was right in their own eyes.
Everybody was just doing whatever he liked.
So what it means is that doing what is right in your own eye is the proof that there is no king in your life.
No control, no lordship.
There is no lordship. So if you are doing, so the lordship of Jesus means that a king has arrived. And now that the king has arrived, you can no longer continue to behave the way you behaved before the king arrived. So if you are doing what is right in your own eye, in your marriage, or in your business, or with your body, it proves that there is no king. So if there is a king, then the king will have his way. And then the second thing, sir, this is very important, is that in a kingdom, the king comes first. You cannot keep a king waiting. You cannot postpone something that a king said. The king's interest and his priority. And that was what they were accused of. They said they were preaching that there is another king apart from Caesar. So once the church gets this revelation of the lordship of Jesus, it will solve the money problem in the church. It will solve the missionary problem in the church. It will solve
having labor to do the work.
That is it. Sir. Because now everything that we are is at the disposal of the king.
Yes, sir.
And here is another important thing, sir. Oh, glory to Jesus, sir. When he is Lord over us, he will manifest his lordship through
through us. That's when the authority and the dominion of believers functions.
That is.
It doesn't function in the life of the man that is not submitted.
No. You'll be carrying, because that authority of the king is established over your life, you will carry kingdom authority. And that is the secret behind the manifestations here in this work. It's because, see, when the man belongs to the master, then the master can do whatever he likes through the person.
Yes, sir.
So we are looking for the miracles of somebody who is not our master. That's what the church is doing. And the preachers are preaching that. They are telling them, come and collect something from a government that you are not under.
You are not submitted to. You are not under.
You are not under the government. You want the benefits of the government. See, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9, it says, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Then he lists his name. His name shall be called. Then even before his name, sir, he says, and the government shall be
on his shoulder.
Upon his shoulder. The government of our lives, he will carry it. And then look at all the benefits that will happen. His name is called Wonderful, Counselor, and all the rest. So the more his government increases in our lives, then the more his authority, the more his wonders, and the more all the things will increase. But we must place the government upon his shoulder.
First of all, tonight, everybody lift up one hand. We're going to go on our knees in a minute. But before you do that, the Lord told me this night of glory, is not about healing. There will be healing. He's going to sort out sick people. But it's the smallest thing. Lives.
Yes, sir.
Jesus must be restored as Lord, as owner,
yes,
as master,
yes, sir,
over your life. Amen. And there must be total allegiance. A complete surrender, not 50% surrender, not 70% surrender, a total surrender of your life under his lordship. A pledging of allegiance, and that means from now, a life of obedience. A life of obedience. Every time he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Obey me.
Yes.
If you love me, no, it's not by crying. Obey. Keep my commandments.
Yes, sir.
They don't teach obedience anymore.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Let's go on our knees and do this. Everybody. And maybe you're watching for your home. The same thing. Go on your knees. Re-enthrone Jesus as Lord and Master and owner of your life and everything about you. Re-enthroned him as king. The number one person you obey. The final authority in your life. His word will have the ultimate authority in your life.
Yes. Yes, Jesus. Oh, yes, Jesus.
Ask him to also give you revelation of his lordship.
I am nothing but
you are property purchased by his blood. Repent for rebellion, for disobedience, for living your own life, your own way, running your life the way you like, not submitting to God's word, not submitting to Christ's teachings. That thing that sent him to the cross, he called every one of us to lay our life down to make sure it gets to others. Make commitment. From now, you're going to be a fisher of men. You're going to go after souls. What took him to the cross must be the driving force for your life.
Yes,
Jesus. Yes. Not a side assignment. It should be the main thing. grace. When Jesus was crying, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" God turned his back on him so he can turn his face on you. That movie, The Passion of the Cross, highlighted just one of his suffering, the flogging. He so highlighted that part, yet there was so much that the Son of God went through. So much. Everybody lift up your hands and thank him. Do you know what this means? If you are sick now, you're already healed before I pray. This whole place is filled with angels. What is going to happen now as I speak? The Lord himself. Maybe I should show you something. In the book of James chapter 5, the Bible said, if anyone is sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. Put it up. I want them to see it. I want them to see it. I want them to see it. He said, let them pray over him. Anointing him with oil. Don't worry about that. In the name of the Lord. Verse 15. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. That's not the part that made me read. It's the other part. The Lord. Everyone said the Lord. The Lord will raise him up. Do you know why? It's something he has already paid for. How can you be denied of it? Did you see what he went through so you can be healed? So if I'm suffering this sickness, the price is being paid twice. Why did he have to pay it? He's now cheating. And that's what Satan likes to do. Where he sees that people are ignorant, he robs them of their rights. This night, it doesn't matter what is holding you, that chain is broken over your life right now. Everybody that can't see, touch your eyes. You can partial blindness, total blindness, or you see that, touch your eyes. There are more angels than human beings. And wherever you are at home, touch your eyes. The Lord wants to start this night with eye clinic. Some of these eye boys will be changed. Some the retina will be changed. Some the lenses will be changed. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke every blindness. I rebuke every form of short-sightedness, long-sightedness. Right now, leave in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of blindness, partial blindness, you know you cannot stay. I command you in the name of Jesus to leave. Now, Heavenly Father, create miracles of sight. Create restoration of eyesight everywhere. Right here and around the homes, in the hospitals, wherever men and women are connected. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Remove your eyes and look. Your sight is restored right now. I see some of those people. You have like cotton before you. You don't see clearly. All that cotton is withdrawn. Your sight is fully restored. And tonight, the reason we have excessive of angels, millions of angels in attendance is to attend to people in the homes, at hospitals, in different places. Do you know how fast angels travel? Speed of light. Faster than that. Do you know what the speed of light is? Dr. Hussein, if you travel at the speed of light, you go around the earth 6 times in 1 second. I don't think you heard me. This, the whole earth, you go around it 6 times in 1 second. So, you are in America, you are in Turkey, you are in Asia, you are in Russia, you are wherever you may be, there is no distance. Anybody that is deaf, anybody that can't hear well, you hear with one ear, you don't hear. You have anything wrong with your ear, touch it. God is healing ears. And at the same time, you can't speak. You are dumb or you stammer. Touch your tongue. Touch your neck. Touch your throat. You will be healed right now. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of deafness and the spirit of dumbness and the spirit of stammering. In the name of Jesus, leave. Now, in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, create miracles of hearing, miracles of speaking, and restoration of the voice and the hearing faculties to everyone that has lost it. There is even a person, they did an operation on one of your ear, cut off your eardrum because you got a very serious problem. That eardrum they remove is restored back. Check, you are hearing me very well now. You are hearing me very well. I rebuke every deafness, every deaf ear to open right now in the name of Jesus. Everybody that has issues with your bones, you can't walk. You broke your knee. You broke your hips. You have issues. One leg is shorter than the other. God is going to make them equal right now. Touch your legs. Touch your hand. Wherever it is, you have a finger that is stiff. You cannot bend. In the name of Jesus, I release you back into your liberty. In the name of Jesus. I command healing in your bones. Healing in your ankles. Healing in your waist. I'm looking at that mama that is stiff. You can't bend. Get up and bend now. You are free. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Everybody, you can't move. You had an accident. Get up and move that leg. Amen. Right now. You cannot walk. Get up from your place and walk. You are in a wheelchair. Get up and walk. Rise up and walk. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus is leading an operation tonight. He is here. Some of you are, your eyes will be open to see him. He is here. And now he said there will be creative miracle changing of organs that have failed, kidneys, hearts, organs. Touch your body. If you are having any internal organ problem, I hear surgeries in the anus. People that are having piles is being resolved right now. In the name of, hey, liver, liver, liver. There are surgeries in the brain. Brain tumor. Pains in your brain is being removed right now. In the name of Jesus. Kidneys with problems. Blood problems. High blood pressure. Diabetes. Cancer of the blood is rebuked in the name of Jesus. Hey, everybody that has any form of problem with your head, from instability, insomnia, you can't sleep, or you have mental illness, touch your head, touch your head. You brought somebody, touch the person's head. There is a cool breeze released by the Lord. All of those problems wipes. every demon of insomnia, mental instability, your time is up. Leave now in the name of Jesus. There are people receiving surgery in their heads. Thank you, Jesus. You don't need to go to doctor anymore. God is giving you a free one. Thank you, Jesus. The tumor is gone. The tumor is gone. The pressure in the head is lifted. Lord, now grant creative miracles where there is need for repairs. Let there be repairs. Where there is need for replacement, let there be replacements. All types of organs. Three people just receive kneecap replacement. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That damage caused by accident is over. In the name of Jesus. And the other person is old age that is causing your own. It has worn out. Now you walk with a lot of pain. Get up and move and see that you are free. Thank you, Jesus. To kneel down and pray is a lot of pain to get up. Try it now. Do it and see. Right here now. Just do it and see. God has healed you. Thank you, Jesus. I give you praise. Everybody having struggle with breathing, asthma, COVID, cold, cough, blocked nostrils, we command it to leave now in the name of Jesus. Breathe in and out. Breathe in and out. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Even some people are receiving tooth work. It's a particular man who broke his jaw. To open your mouth is a problem. God just fixed it for you. And now there is fixing of problems with jaws and teeth. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are healed. All of these terrible toothaches and issues going on there is fixed in the name of Jesus. Every woman, every man that has problem with childbirth, has problem with performing your function, put your hands on your lower abdomen. Impotency. Your ability to function has reduced by 50%. Some can't function at all. Right now, I command resurrection back into your system. And by the creative power of God, the power that raised Christ from the dead, we erase the years that have accumulated and send you back to your youth. And I rebuke every spirit of barrenness. Every woman that's having problem with childbirth, touch your lower abdomen. We rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The blessing of childbirth. The blessing of children. The blessing of fruitfulness. The blessing is yours now in Jesus' mighty name. When they pierce his side with javelin, his bride, the church, came out. But the curse placed on women in the garden because of that rebellion was broken. Lift up your hands, every woman here. that is still within the childbearing stage, not those that have stopped, not grandmother, those that are still within the childbearing who still want to have children, the blessing of supernatural childbirth comes upon you. And the lifting of the Adamic curse, we break it over your life right now. I just heard from the Holy Spirit, all types of painful menstruations are also healed. In the name of Jesus. Hormonal imbalances are healed. In the name of Jesus. And the attack and the interference of marine spirits is cut off right now. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead and sing.